Amen. 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 Lord, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we just pray you would speak to us this morning and touch our hearts, that we have a better understanding of you. We just pray as we look into your word that your things would be open to us. And so we just praise you for that. And I thank you for each person here, and I pray a blessing on each one of them, that they would be encouraged what you have done for each of us. And so we praise your holy name. And I pray you anoint me, that I just speak forth words of the Spirit, and that each heart would be able to receive. So God, we give this time to you and praise your holy name in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to look this morning, Abraham. Right. And so such an interesting individual that God based, you know, whenever God talks about faith, he goes back to Abraham. Interesting. We'll look, just to start off this, where we come to our next verse in Hebrews. Let's read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 15. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, I surely will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. Now, when we look at this whole setup of Hebrews, it's really important to keep in mind. Back in chapter 5, verse 11, Hebrews tells us he has much to tell us, and it's hard to understand. Okay, so he set us up here. I have much to tell you, but it's hard to understand. And thus, in that same section, he says, this is not milk. This is solid food. And he says, if you just own milk, you're a baby. You're an infant. But I want to give you solid food. This is for the mature. Well, the rest of the book of Hebrews is for the mature. All right? The whole thing. And so I want to challenge you, and, you know, I'll just speak into the air, not to any one person. You read Hebrews, that is hard to understand. I think I'll skip it. You're an infant. I mean, that's okay. I mean, you love infants. You know, they're so much fun. Even in the church, they can be a lot of fun. All right, just lots of fun. Infants. But the reality is, you know, if you want somebody to be a head of a ministry or do something, lead music, you don't want an infant. You know, I mean, you love them to death, but oh my God, don't give them a microphone. You see what I'm saying? So what the book of Hebrews, I want to put this out to you, the book of Hebrews is meat. It's solid food. And some of it is really hard to understand. So we already have. He's already told us about that. That this is, he's going to be giving us some solid food. And where he starts off here on this solid food, he's going to start off with Abraham. Oh, I'll just give you a little teaser for next week. Okay, we're on meat. You know what the teaser is for next week? This is Abraham. Next week's Melchizedek. Oh, you're going to love this. Aren't you, Melchizedek? Next week, we're going to spend a whole message on Melchizedek. Life-changing. Like I said, for the mature, it may be a little hard to understand. But there's a point that he wants to tell the mature, and only the mature can grasp it. So you can just see where this is going. Oh, well, after Melchizedek, you know what he tells us? Third message, he goes, oh, you know, all those sacrifices and blood sacrifices and all this, he's going, it's all those are a picture of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you how each one's a picture of Jesus. It's meat. I mean, he's like, you know, I think I'll just hang out with God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, and run around with my bottle and be happy. All right? So just kind of set the stage. This is what's going on right here. And so the author is very, very aware of that because this is how he approached it. He said, I have much to tell you, but it's hard to understand. Hard to understand. So here we are. We're starting off with Hebrew with a preview of the next few weeks. All right? It'll be lots of fun. So what we have here with this verse, what's opening up here with this verse, the solid food begins with Abraham. It begins with Abraham. Here's some things to help you understand your Christian faith. It begins with Abraham. Interesting. Interesting. Now, this quote, and Abraham, as you know, if you've read through the Bible, you can tell me, what is it? Well, there's a couple of titles. But I'm just asking, what is the title given to Abraham? All through the scripture, all through the New Testament, when they mention him, somebody just yelled, well, there's actually two, but the main one, our father is one. There's another one. Our father, too. He's our, the church's father. Okay, that's one. Somebody else? Man of faith. When Paul ever refers to faith, he refers to Abraham, man of faith. You see? So here we go. We have in Hebrews, he says, I'm going to give you some meat. And it's about Abraham, the man of faith. The man of faith. Now, what we have here in this quote, in this particular quote, this quote is from Genesis 22:17, almost verbatim. So he quotes in here in Hebrews, he is quoting Genesis 22:17. And what we have here is Abraham receives a promise from God, and he patiently waits for it. He patiently waits for God to give it to him. Man of faith. Here's a promise, and he waits for God to give it to him. Now, so God patiently waits for the promise. Now, however, what I'm going to do this morning, take a little liberties, to help us understand the foundation of Abraham's faith, which Genesis 22:17 is built on. It's built on. So I'm going to go to that verse and where it's built on, because that's when it's established, is when God, that's the verse that's established, is Abraham, the man of faith. So we're going to go back to there, okay? So we have this statement, it's dead on, but I want to move back to Genesis 15, when God first declares it, or when it's first declared, okay? So let's go back to Genesis 15:6. Genesis 15:6, and I have overhead here. I have overheads, for, I think, for all of these. So we go back to Genesis 15:6. Now, this is where the first place where the definition of Abraham's faith is first presented. This is the first place it's presented and said, you know, to identify him as a man of faith. So it's a big deal. Genesis 15:6 is a big deal. And it says this. And Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. There it is. The whole thing. Now, this verse is quoted verbatim two times in the New Testament to define the saving faith that serves as a foundation for our understanding of faith in both the Old and New Testaments. Okay? See, it's a big deal. Genesis 15:6 is a big deal. It establishes faith in the Old Testament. It says that he believed God. It was counted to him as righteousness. His faith is counted to him as righteousness. Then it also goes into the New Testament to describe faith. You believe God, and it's accounted to you is righteousness. So, it's used in two times. Now, also, we look at this, so it's important, so we need to look at it. The verb, right there, you see the verb counted, all right? It counted. He believed God, and it was counted to him. There's two words you can use there. One is imputed. The other is reckoned. I kind of like reckon. You know, being from the South, he believed God, and God reckoned he was faithful. He was, anyway, it's just a pen. So God reckoned him as righteous. I reckon he's righteous. Anyway, probably a better word is imputed. He believed God, and it was imputed to him his righteousness. See, and what we have here, the occasion for this verse, is when God told him, he says, look into the stars, look at the stars. He says, so your offspring will be. And I've shared before, have you ever been out in the desert or out in the country where there's no lights or anything and looked up at the sky? It's overwhelming. On a clear night, and so you can't count the stars. They're like ran together. I mean, it's amazing to win a dark night like that. And that's what Abraham was. And they didn't have any city lights, and he wasn't in the city. And he goes, "Look at the stars. So shall your offspring be." That's what he's telling Abraham. Now, the promise that God was giving Abraham is that through Abraham, there would be a worldwide people of God. That's what he's telling them. There's going to be a worldwide people of God. So you got Abraham. He said, this is going to be your offspring. That means a worldwide people of God. And we will see as you read through the scripture, or you do see as you read through the scripture, ultimately it refers, start off, to the nation of Israel. The nation Israel physically comes through Abraham. Here's a little note. Do you know who the first Jew was? The very first Jew. Abraham. There were no Jews before Abraham. And all the Jews came after Abraham. All the Jews are related to Abraham by blood. Every single Jew by blood is related to Abraham. So God says, you're going to have many children. You're going to have many children. Israel. All that comes through you, your blood, Israel, or my people. Now, what we also see, which is a whole different message, but we also, so says to Abraham, in the New Testament says, all those who have the faith of Abraham are his children. Now, do you see what God just did? Typically, what he does through the whole Old Testament, Abraham, physically, but in the New Testament, it's more. It's spiritual. Old Testament, physical, children, nation, he uses it. God shows us his people. Then in the New Testament, it's those believers, and they are spiritual offspring because they have a faith like Abraham, and they become his children, the people of God. But it starts in Genesis 15:6. This is it. So it's a real key point. It's a real key point. And it's going back to this verse we opened up with it this morning. So that's amazing, right? Now here's what's more amazing about this in Genesis 15:6. And I can't remember the exact ages. You know, I think it, Abraham was 90. I think Sarah was 80. I think it's something like that. I don't know. I might be a little low. So Abraham's about 90. Wallace, you're 90. And you're going to be the father. No, I don't think it's happening. I don't think so. You know, maybe, you know. Linda's 80. Well, then I don't think that's going to happen either. You know, I just don't believe we're going to. God, but Wallace, look at the stars of heaven. God, I don't care how many stars they are. If it's just one up there. So I'm just setting the tone. See, so Abraham's like 90 years old, and he doesn't have any children. Sarah is barren. 80 years, barren, no kids. There's no kids. God. And so God says, here's Abraham, look up. Abraham, you're my man, look up, and you're going to have offspring more than all the stars in the sky. Abraham believed God. And God gave him righteousness. Why? Because he believed God. He believed God. There's the foundation for faith. Oh, your tough things. They're not as tough as believing you're going to have millions of offspring at 90 and your wife's barren. You see what I'm saying? So the whole point, the whole gauge here is to draw us into a point where we say, oh, I have faith. I go, yeah, really? You're going to doubt God before you get home this afternoon. I know you are, because I will. Not you, doubt me. You know, God, you just messed up. See, it's like, gosh, I need, see, God's letting, but this is the faith I'm asking you. This is the faith I want my people to have. This is the faith. Genesis 15, 6. Childless, he believed, and righteousness was given to him. Meat. Here's some solid food. You'll have a notebook that says meat. Solid food. Abraham is not described as doing righteousness, but having righteousness imputed to him because he believed. Wasn't righteous because he did something, because he obeyed something, because he achieved something. He had righteous because he believed God. And God gave it to him. He did nothing. He did absolutely nothing. There's meat. There's meat. Because this carries over into the New Testament. Carries over into the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul really goes to town on it, explaining this. The Apostle Paul does. He goes back to this. See, belief alone brought Abraham into a proper relationship with God. This is the same faith, belief alone, that is necessary to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Faith like Abraham. Now the Bible clearly says it. Clearly says it. To trust Christ, you have to have a faith like Abraham. And what will God do? Give you righteousness. You do nothing. You do nothing. That's the only faith. That's the faith God's talking about. You do nothing but believe what he told you. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can talk you out of it. No one can take it away from you. You and Jesus. It's you and Jesus. Belief alone brought Abraham into the proper relationship. Now, I have to make this note because it's just me, because I know a possible argument. A lot of people erroneously say that James 2:21 shows that works are necessary for Abraham's faith. That's just misreading the whole thing. They fail to recognize that James is only identifying that evidence of Abraham's previously imputed righteousness, therefore he did something. Him doing something had nothing to do with his receiving faith. Nothing. Okay? So, it's almost a heresy to interpret that had anything to do with Abraham receiving his righteousness. Okay. So, here we have this and say, gosh, this is kind of a big deal. Genesis, first book of the Bible, 15:6. So the Apostle Paul says, I want to explain faith to you. I want you to understand faith. And so what happens, the Apostle Paul quotes Genesis 15:6 is the foundation of saving faith. The Paul says, I want to give you the foundation of saving faith. It's Genesis 15:6. Look at Romans 4:3. Look at Romans 4:3. Scripture says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. There it is. New Testament. Genesis, first book, and then the Old Testament. Also, you can look at Galatians 3:6, quotes the same verse in explaining faith. Same verse. Now, so we're all getting, it's an important, it's a big deal, our faith and what God's calling us to trust Him. The capacity, the where He's taking us to trust Him. Can you imagine thinking there's something so difficult, you say, I just can't trust Him. Well, you don't have a faith like Abraham. You see what I'm saying? Because it was impossible, humanly impossible to achieve what God promised Abraham. But He goes, no, Abraham, faith. That's the faith you have to have. You have to have. Now, look at this. The faith of Abraham was declared 500 years before the law was given to Moses. You have to keep the law to have faith. Abraham didn't. He didn't do it. He didn't have it. Abraham was 500 years before Moses, about 500, and he didn't have it. And no, look, 500 years. And that's why he believed God, and it was just imputed. He said, just believe me. It'll just be, you are right. You believe me. It's imputed. You don't have to do nothing. In fact, if you do something, you destroy faith. That's what he said. Now, of course, Abraham, they say he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. Now, here's something. Here, want some solid food. Now, this one will make you go back in the nursery and suck your bottle. I'm telling you. Right here. Solid food for the mature. Faith has nothing to do with the law. Faith has nothing to do with the law. So we see this, what quoted in Romans 4:3, then we see quoted in Romans 4:14 this. Just believe the words. All you got to do is believe the word, not put your own ideas into it. Just believe the word. Romans 4:14. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. It's saying to follow the law shows that you have no faith and the promise doesn't exist. What's this? In context with what? I'm big on context, right? In context with Romans 4:3, which is in context with Genesis 15:6. You know, it makes me kind of think, you know, God had His act together. He knew exactly what He's doing in Genesis 15:6, and He knew exactly what Abraham was doing. He knew exactly how to come to by faith, and He shows us at the very end that that's the faith I want. And so to give it to these people, the church, so that they can finally understand, I'm going to give it to it. And all these people in the church that won't hang on the law, I'm going to give it here that they have to have the faith of Abraham, who didn't have the law. 500 years before the law. Didn't have it. So it's like, interesting. And again, Romans 4, Galatians 3, go in great detail to explain this. Now, so if our righteousness is based on keeping the law, our faith is non-existent or null and void. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my goodness. So, well, maybe verse 15 will help us. Next verse, Romans 4:15. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there's no transgression. Gosh, these guys are just messing up. They're just messing up. I'll just get rid of the law now. I don't have to worry about them. That's kind of what it says. Now, you got to be a little bit more than that. You know, it's like you're going down the highway. It says 55 speed limit. If they keep breaking it, you know, it's like, let's just take the sign out. They ain't keeping it anyway. I mean, they're just not keeping it. Now, I'm trying to drive home a point on what's being said here. There's a whole big picture. The law brings wrath. Brings wrath. Now, I love Romans 3:19, 20, 21. And he says, why we have the law. You know why it says? You know what Romans 3:19 through 20 says we have the law? He says we have the law to prove us guilty. That's what we try to make. Oh, we have the law. I'm going to keep it, guys. And that's not why I gave it to you. It's to prove you guilty. See? We do our... You know, we have these preconceived ideas. And God says, no, you don't understand. And what he's saying, you don't understand the faith of Abraham. And you, that's the faith you need to have. So, Romans 4:15, for the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. How can you break a law that's not there? And the law brings wrath, and so... Where there's no law, there's no transgression. Okay, here's solid food. Here is solid food. Solid food. Solid food. Should be nailed on the front of every church. Solid food. Since the law brings wrath through Jesus, God has removed the law and nailed it to the cross so it cannot be held against us. Colossians actually says it. Colossians spells it out. Said everything held against us, all the law and rules, was nailed to the cross. We didn't think, well, that's cool. So everybody can read it? No. It was nailed to the cross through Jesus. He suffered all because we can't keep the law. He's the only one who keeps the law. And he suffered in our place. He paid our penalty. He did everything we couldn't do. And so we trust him with the faith of Abraham. And we add nothing to that. Or you have no faith. You won't add anything to that. Or you have no faith. You're faking it. You're faking it. Very close to being a Pharisee. You're faking it. Since the law brings wrath through Jesus, God has removed the law and nailed it to the cross so it cannot be held against us. No law, no transgression. What law is held against you? Say it and put it on the cross. Say it and put it on the cross. Say it and put it on the cross. Say it. There's no transgression. There's no transgression because it's on the cross. No transgression. Because it's on the cross. And we stand before God and he looks at us and says, there's no transgression with you at all. Because Jesus paid the penalty. Paid the penalty. You see how Jesus is being exalted. Exalted almost beyond comprehension. Most of us had real little Jesus, you know. I did this talk one time. And it's Christmas, and so a bunch of kids, and you're, so you give the look, you give the kids, they give the gospel. I mean, they're like 3 years old, 2 years. I'm saying, sure, I give them the gospel, and so I'm trying to get across the point that you have a big Jesus, you like that? And I said, you love Jesus? Said, yeah, I love Jesus. And I said, you have a big Jesus? And the little girl goes, no. I have a little big Jesus. Look, right here he is. He's this big. This is my Jesus. He's this big. And I think that's what we do as Christians. We have a little Jesus. And Jesus said, no, I'm big. I'm big. I'm big. Now, some say, you know, somebody will be there and say, oh, my goodness. If I don't have the law, I'm going to leave here and go rob a bank. You know, I just go rob a bank, you know, because I have no law to hold me back. I'm just going to rob a bank, you know, right? Because I need a law to rob a bank. Well, would Jesus go out and rob a bank? Would he go out and rob a bank? Well, he didn't need the law. Why? He wouldn't rob a bank because he's Jesus. He didn't rob a bank. Because the law, he didn't rob a bank because it's Jesus. We, with Jesus in us, We wouldn't rob a bank because Jesus is in us. We wouldn't do it because he's in us, because we have a big Jesus in us. We have the God of the universe in us. We're not robbing a bank. In fact, we wouldn't even think of robbing a bank. You know, we can, and this is going on, you know, and see what God is trying to communicate to us. You know, the Bible says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. And I come to my wife and say, I love you because God told me to. Love it. I'm here. He told me to. Ladies, how warm and fuzzy do you feel? How warm and fuzzy do you feel? But I'm obeying the law. That's your church. That's your church. See? But it's like, oh, yeah, you're adorable. I just love you to death. And from the depths of my heart, I love you. See? God goes, that's what I want. That's what I want. With Jesus in you, that's what happens. That's what happens with Jesus in you. Law has nothing to do with faith. If you follow the law, you have no faith. I mean, here it is. So you're all encouraged that I will not rob a bank when I leave here today. Won't even think about it. So we have this. We have this whole thought when we, this process of what God, and this is what God is trying to tell us. See, we can think, well, you're just funny and you're joking, this like this, and Abraham. But there's a reason God tells us, there's a reason that God tells us is accounted to Abraham is righteousness 500 years before the law. There's a reason. In fact, it is used in Paul's explanations. That, wait a minute, you can't do this. Abraham was accounted as righteous, and this was before the law. He actually says that, okay? It's hard to understand. Hebrews says it's hard to understand, but it's meat. It's meat. Without the law, we live by faith in relationship with God. As intended, just like Abraham. We have relationship. We have relationship. Thus, through faith, he becomes the father of us all. We're children of Abraham. And it's in the New Testament. We are children of Abraham. We are children because we have faith like Abraham. That's it. That makes us children of Abraham. Thus, he becomes the father of us all. We are Abraham's offspring just as God promised. Now listen to this. Next verse, Romans 4:16. I mean, they're just clicking it up. Boom, boom, boom. Faith of Abraham. Faith of Abraham. Romans 4:3. Now we're just hitting the law. Boom, boom. Now 4:16, look at this. Why are you doing it all this? Romans 4:16. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. All his offspring have the same faith, who share the faith of Abraham and the father of us all. That's what makes us, that's what puts us in one big bucket right there. One big bucket. If we're under the law, we'd be rating and, you know, just holding things and against each other, be watching and, you know, as, you know, what you wear, what you don't wear, what you sow, where you don't say, you know, we'd have to hire, you know, a bunch of, you know, detectives to follow all you around and keep you right. You know, you have to. That's the only way to keep all of you right. You know, and who would be the judge about keeping you right? Well, I'm pastor, I suppose me. I hope nobody follows me around. So don't y'all follow. If you follow me around, your faith will just be destroyed. So don't do that. I mean, just, no. But okay, we're saying this. We are Abraham's offspring, adopted through faith in Jesus Christ. Promise. only those who have a faith like Abraham experience the life of God. Now that's the other piece. I want to experience the life of God. Then you have to have the faith of Abraham. And if you're under the rules, you never have it. All right. You may be real self-righteous by your rules that you keep, but you'll never have the life of God in you. Experientially, you can be saved and mess up a bunch. Okay, like that. How do we know that? Because the law was nailed to the cross. See, but God said, but what Paul is saying, I want you to experience this. I don't want you to live under rules. I want you to experience this power of Christ. And so what he says here, 4:17, see, these verses just falling over themselves. See? Romans 4:17. This is God who gives life to the dead and calls into the existence the things that do not exist. Calls into life, calls the life of the dead, calls into existence the things that don't exist. Abraham, look at the storm. I'm 90 years old. I have no kids. Look at the stars. All I got to do is say the word. Look at the stars. Believe what I say. Just look at the stars and believe in me. And all of a sudden, you're looking at the stars and God, the powerful God, is working through me and leading me and speaking to me. All of the things I ever did are nailed to the cross, and all I have to do is love him. All I have to do is love him. See? And that's what he's telling. And he said, that's what I want.
I heard one pastor say, he said that all religions, there's two types of religions.
All the religions fall under one thing, human achievement. All religions fall under one. It's human achievement, except one. One doesn't. And it's Christianity, because it's God accomplishment. We try to make it human achievement. God said, no. That's all other religions are human achievement. Only Christianity is God accomplishment. He said, I'm trying to teach you that. Love me, and you'll see the power of God flow through you. Supernatural power, because you love me, and you love me, you'll do what I say, what I tell you, because you love me. And you won't be judging anybody else, because you should be loving God and loving others. It makes you come to the verse comes to mind. Where was it? Matthew? I can't remember. But I promise you it's in there. Matthew, it says, the Pharisees come and say, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Now, isn't that what a Pharisee would do? He's under the law. All right, Jesus, me and you, one-on-one, what's the greatest commandment? See, that's what Pharisees do. They're finger pointers. They're just finger pointers, all right? And so, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus goes, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, all the law and all the prophet hang on this. He said that. You see what I mean? He said that. Jesus said it. You know. It's like, oh my goodness, what the whole thing of what God says. He calls life to the dead and calls into an existence the things that don't exist. Anything. No, I got this. I got this. Just love me. I got this. Now this is a Wallace. Okay.
What does that mean when I say this is a wallace? That you don't have to pay any attention to it whatsoever. Okay? Ever. You say, Wallace said that. I think he's all wet. And that's fine. I may be all wet. Just my opinion. The Wallace says, churches under the law spend all their time preaching rules, trying to control people who don't know Jesus, while at the same time quenching the faith of those who seek a relationship with Jesus. That's just my opinion. You preach, I gotta preach. Gotta preach the law to keep you in control. My God, if I don't preach, you ain't no telling what you do. If I don't preach the law and tell you what to do, you gotta know what to do. If I don't tell you, how are you ever gonna survive? You know, like that. If I knew Jesus, I wouldn't have to preach that way. See? But when you preach that way, you quench the spirit, you ruin people's faith. You destroy other people by preaching the law to the people that don't know Jesus. So the people that are trying to have a relationship with Jesus, it quenches their faith. Therefore, you don't have a dynamic, Christ-loving church. I mean, okay, that's my opinion. See, Romans 4:21, with a faith like Abraham, we are fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. He'll do what he promised. That's the faith. Not what we do, it's what he does. We're fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. We hear Jesus. We know Jesus. The faith of Abraham requires this in the church. Hear Jesus. Know Jesus. But one of all these people that are not quite as holy is me. Well, if that's the case, you walk in and you share Jesus. And you teach them how to walk with Jesus. You teach them how to love Jesus. You don't teach them rules. Hey, this guy's stealing. Okay, come over here. It says, thou shall not steal. Then him. But brother, what are you doing? What's your relationship with Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Well, yeah, none of your actions are showing me you love Jesus. We need to walk with you. You need to look at the glory and the power of God. You need to give your life to Jesus. He doesn't need a rule. He doesn't need a rule. You see what I'm saying? God is saying, this is deeper. This is deeper. Rules. This is falling in love with me. This is falling in love with me. This is listening to me. This is being possessed by me. See? And then all of a sudden, that adjusts your behavior. And you know, you're some of this prayer, you're someplace, and you're someplace, and God will move in it. Everybody at one time, and they're loving him, and he's taking them from wherever they are, and taking them along, and teaching them along, and then we cooperate with each other in their walk with Jesus. You see, walk with Jesus. I remember helping this one kid one time. He came to my office, and God bless him. His life was a mess. I mean, you ever talk to somebody like, you don't even know where to start. You just got to look. And I said, well, you know, tell me. I shared the gospel with him like that. He said, I don't know. Just, I think my big problem is I need to quit smoking. I'm thinking, I said, listen, man, I'll buy you a pack of cigarettes. And that's not your problem. And I did. I told him, I said, I'll buy you a carton. I'll buy you a cigarette. This is not your problem. All right. But I said, we need to kind of get you back on. I know you accepted Jesus, but there's a little more, you know, to stop smoking. We need to go some deeper things here. We need to give some deeper things. Now, anyway, but that's what happens. That's what happens. Now, when you say, okay, here we are. It's like, oh, my gosh, all this stuff about Abraham. And you go back to Genesis 15:6. Why the big deal? Genesis 15:6.
Genesis. Some people, I don't think Genesis was inspired. I don't know, based on Genesis 15:6, I do. See? But why back to Abraham? Oh, Romans tells us. Romans 4:23. But the words, it was counted. So this is the verse talking about the previous verse in Romans 4:3. But the words, it was counted, imputed to him. The words, he's telling us what, the words, it was counted or imputed to him, were not written for Abraham's sake. What does that mean? Genesis 15, but the words, it was counted to him or imputed to him, were not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for ours also. For ours also. It will be counted, imputed to us. It's so that we understand. I got to keep the law. No, Abraham believed. There wasn't even a law present. You got to have his faith. His faith. Faith has nothing to do with the law. Loving me has nothing to do with the law. You love me with your heart, mind, and soul, and all the law and the prophets hanging on that. Stop it. I mean, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And so it makes the point. It's not Abraham. It's for you. This is for the church. It begins with Abraham, but it ends with Jesus. Begins with Abraham. But it ends with Jesus. Believe God and receive righteousness. Oh, I'm going to do this stuff to be righteous. Not doing it, and you're going to irritate everybody around you while you're trying. Stop it. The law's nailed to the cross. Stop it. Okay. You believe God and you receive righteousness. You receive righteousness. Through imputed righteousness, we receive life. Now here's the issue. Through imputed righteousness, we receive life. Receive life. Salvation is more than forgiveness. It's the life of Christ in us. I receive the deity of Christ within me. And I'm going to act like a jerk and rob banks. And I don't think so. I mean, if you have any comprehension of God, if he really did enjoy, I don't think that happened. I don't think that happened. I don't think that happened. I know what, I'll give him a rule and then he'll be better. Now you'll just make a Pharisee out of him. See, it's just amazing what it says here. Christianity is not following the law, but loving Jesus. I'm telling you. If Jesus indwells you, there's a small chance you might do what Jesus tells you. You hope so. Yeah. Now, here's the clincher. When you look at this and what the New Testament and stuff is saying, what it's saying, and you understand, what were we before we received Jesus? Live or dead? You believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you believe you were dead? Like dead, dead, dead. Okay? Before you trusted, you're dead. You're just dead. Well, I'm talking to this dead person, and I want this dead person to do something great for Jesus. Maybe, I don't know, you know. He made a donkey talk. I suppose you can do that, you know, but they're dead. We were dead. Every one of us are dead. Then what happened when we received Jesus? What happened when we received Jesus? We came alive. We're alive. The difference is we're alive with Jesus. So if we're alive with Jesus, we're starting to behave like Jesus because we're alive with Jesus. You see? All of a sudden there's life. There's life flowing out. There's life flowing out. Okay? Look at Colossians. Now, I condense this a little bit, but the words are right. Look at Colossians 2:13. I mean, the Bible is crazy, crazy consistent. Colossians 2:13. When you were dead, God made you alive. And the only thing you're worth anything, can do anything, and have any power is because God made you alive. It's like, oh my God, I just want to hear from you. I want to give my life to you. All I just, my focus is on you. That means I probably won't rob a bank. That means I'll probably love my wife like I'm supposed to do. Because I love you and you love me, and I'm just so consumed with your presence, and you indwell me in such a degree, I start behaving like you behave. That's what he's saying. Folks, that's meat. That's meat. Rest of it, skim milk and Cheerios. I'm just telling you, do what you want to. You can live off skim milk. You can make it. I mean, you can. And you'll go to heaven. We'll all love each other in heaven. I'm just saying. But there ain't going to be no power. There's not going to be no power. Just not. Just not. Because the power is in Jesus. The power is in Jesus. He believed God, and God gave him righteousness. He didn't do righteousness. He believed God gave him righteousness. Now, I got to throw one in here. I mean, I just, you know, you can't get going, don't want to stop. But I received Jesus, and I don't work for it. I'm totally forgiven. I'm not under the law. And now that I'm forgiven, I won't get under the law and put everybody else under the law. Well, that ain't right. You're forgiven by not doing anything, but then once you're forgiven, you've got to put everybody under the law and put yourself under the law. Colossians 2:6. Don't you love the Bible? Don't you love the Bible? I am saved by faith, imputed righteousness. It's just given to me because I believe. And then Colossians 2:6. Okay, you got it. Wallace, you got it. Now, as you have received Jesus, imputed righteousness, now live in him. Continue to live in imputed righteousness. Continue to live in imputed righteousness. See? How do I live the life? Live the life the same way you were saved. Live the life the same way you were saved. You were saved through faith, by grace, not of yourself. Live your life the same way. He didn't save you to live under the law. See how much sense it makes? See? Okay. It's meat. Meat. Now, I don't see, you know, somebody hear this and just grab their thumb, suck it, and go in the nursery and say, oh, my God, this is just, I just want to go to heaven. I don't want to listen to all this nonsense. What is this? You know. And I really do believe if you take the law away, Wallace will rob a bank. I know he will. I don't believe anything you're saying because hey, you can't trust him. You know, he needs a rule. Wallace needs a rule. Jesus says something else. You were dead, Wallace. And I may have robbed the bank while I was dead. Said, oh my gosh. You were dead. Now you're alive. Now you have this goal. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And your neighbor is yourself. And all the law. And all the prophets. Hang on. Don't worry about them. You'll just do what you're supposed to do. Because you love Jesus. You'll just do what you're supposed to do. Problem is loving Jesus. Problem is loving Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. I mean, we look at this, and I mean, Lord, it like blows our minds. It blows our mind what you say. The magnitude of who you are. The magnitude that you could even save us. The magnitude that you could just reach down and touch us. And then we could set our eyes upon you, and you would change our lives and give us strength and power to live this life. And it all... our salvation comes from trusting you. Our life after trusting you comes through trusting you. Listening to you and trusting you. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for everyone's here. And I thank you for just the ministry each person here has had to me and the joy they bring me. And I just thank you for that. And God, I just,
give you honor and glory. I pray you protect each person. You guide each person. You give each person strength. And we look forward, Lord. We look forward, God, in how you're going to move in us and those around us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.